Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Wrestle. And welcome back to Mindset Monday with Wrestling Mindset, the number one wrestling-specific mindset program anywhere in the world. And today we're going through the Predator Mindset, Chapter 1.
We're back. As promised, we're going to go through the book. We took a little hiatus, and we're coming back to Chapter 1 after the intro probably 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Let's do it. Chapter 1, Mindset Training for Success. To understand how the predator mindset is answered to achieving our goals, we must first examine the role of our mindset plays in our success. What percentage of sports is physical and what percentage is mental? This is an interesting question. Experience has shown me that I can take any sports team of any age and the answer will be anywhere between 50 to 90% mental. It's hard to imagine such a uniform answer among athletes of such different sports and ages. My next question is where things really become interesting. What percentage of your time are you training physically versus mentally? Crickets. Most say 95% of their time is spent on physical training. We can instantly see the problem. We must train smarter. It is easy to see how those percentage numbers don't jive. If you're saying sports are at least 50% mental, then it stands to reason we must spend 50% of your time training your mind. Now, not for one second should you think this downplays the importance of physical training. As a personal trainer and sports nutritionist with a master's degree in exercise science, I know full well that both sport and life goals require a holistic approach. Back in ancient Greece, the catchphrase was spirit, mind, and body. It remains true today. To maximize your chance of success, you want to be the total package. In my teaching, I've avoided using the famous quote, "Work smarter, not harder." Most athletes use this as a line to slack off, as if this is an either-or proposition. In life, you tend to find the existence of paradoxes. We often witness less either-ors and more both-ands. To succeed, you will probably do well to train both smarter and harder. You don't have to pick one or the other. Just make sure you're training smarter. Imagine two horses trying to pull a cart in opposite directions. The cart goes nowhere. When our mind and body are not working together, we cannot move freely. This is similar to the flashy sports car that cannot climb to top speed because the driver forgot to release the emergency brake. We often block ourselves. This block usually comes from our own prey mindset. After speaking with enough athletes, I've been able to identify markers of the prey mindset. Some of the most common mental mistakes reported by athletes are hesitating and performing too tentatively, choking in big competitions, giving good opponents too much respect, competing better in practice than in competition, and feeling unmotivated or burnt out. These are all mindset red flags, consequences of the prey mindset, and warnings to focus more on your mental training. Now, maybe you're not an athlete. No problem. What percentage of your success would you say is mental? I've done the survey with sales teams, weight loss clients, and many other groups, and I've seen the same response. The mental component is usually said to be far more than half the battle. We must train our brain to achieve our dreams. The average person trying to lose weight has tried several fad diets and often purchased new cool exercise gadgets guaranteed to make you look like a supermodel in three easy payments of $19.95. Why do most people fail to reach their goals? Consider the weight loss mindset red flags we've noted. Emotional eating, attaching self-worth to appearances, difficulty saying no to junk food around friends and family and during the holidays. Notice these are all mental and not physical barriers. Okay, so we know our success depends on our mindset. Most coaches and leaders understand this. So why isn't more being done to train this area? End of chapter one.
All right, let's take it from the top and unpack some of this. Wrestling 90% mental.
And they've done studies on this, actually. I think the name was Fortescue. This is back in my Tudor Obampa book. I don't have it here on me, where they actually broke it down into different areas of – they looked in different sports, and they were doing talent identification as well as performance markers. And they actually broke it down, biomotor qualities for success. And they said, you know, they grouped – I think for mindset, they were saying like determination, initiative, and concentration. And they said it was 40% of the pie there. And then other things they said were endurance, coordination, and then the biomotor qualities was one aspect of it. And that was, you know, like your arm length, your height, and these kind of things. So it said it in the book, 40% mental. So, I mean, you know, it's, again, regardless of the number that's being put out, we know it's very mental. And most people intuitively know that when it comes time for the competition or the performance, it's pretty much all mental. Like GSP said in one of his interviews, George Rush St. Pierre, he said, you know, he can't be any stronger, better technically prepared than he is right now. Back when he was competing, he says, this is before his fight. He's like, but I can work on my mindset. So people know that, you know, what percentage of mental tends to vary and everything, but the performance day, it really matters. And also just your decision overall to play the sports. I mean, that's mental, a decision to show up at practice, a decision to compete. It's mental. It's not physical.
Yeah, it's both motivation and peak performance. Remember that other chart that you had? We should post that in here, that it had like the bottom of the pie was motivation, which is mindset. And then the top of the pie, or the top of the pyramid, was peak performance, both crucial mental aspects of performance of sports.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, the closer you get to competition, the more mental it is. Right. We quoted Carrie Collot. We said that, you know, that famous video where he says, we all know wrestling is 95% mental. And we quoted him. He was even a little mad. He said that his guy didn't say it. He's like, every coach out there says that wrestling is 95% mental. And it's like, again, closer you get to the match, the more mental it becomes. There's no question about it. Like George St. Pierre said, not much you could do. You know, hopefully you're healthy on fight day, on match day, but there's not much you could do mentally. You know, that's going to have a lot to do with how you perform. You know, there's no quick fixes the day of the fight physically. You know, if you didn't train, if you didn't learn how to, you know, get out of legs, if you didn't learn how to, you know, finish your takedown, not much you could do. Quick fixes don't work, but mentally that's going to have a big impact on the outcome. Here we go. Wrestling breakdown.
This was taken from the Tudor Obampa book on talent identification. And they were talking about, now this comes down to performance. They were saying the performance of the wrestlers come down to 60% physical, 40% mental. Now, I made this into a pyramid chart because I wanted to show basically, you know, I was trying to emphasize this here, but the numbers are accurate in terms of what numbers came from the study. And then I built it into a pyramid. And I chose the colors myself. So this is all taken from Kunst and Florescu, 1971. And I divided the mindset, their categories that they had were determination, initiative, and concentration. So I chose to, I had to make a decision here. What does that look like? So we could have said all of mindset is 40%, right? But what I want to do is I want to show the difference that determination and initiative tend to be more foundation level mindset. So I arbitrarily, admittedly, put that under foundation mindset. And then flow mindset, flow, who the psychologist Csikszentmihalyi, he talks about, I look at that as concentration. So being under a proper concentration. So that's what, that would be 12% of the pie. So if you see, there's peak performance, flow mindset, as well as foundation level determination and initiative. So, you know, again, they're looking at that as performance breakdowns. Now, interestingly here, this is, like I said, predictors of performance. Predictors of performance. The other chart that they had that I didn't, that the other part of the study that I did not add here was that, what are the predictors of someone wrestling? Like, what's the talent? So the talent identification, how do you choose a wrestler? And it was actually the opposite. The choosing of a wrestler was actually 60% mental. 60%. So if a person had that determination, initiative, and concentration, they're more likely, it's a good identification for a wrestler. But when it came time to performance, then it tended to switch. Because it's one of those things, we have a lot of wrestlers who, we were just talking about this before, a lot of wrestlers doing the mawas now and the coming back and doing these, you know, these tournaments. They might have the mindset, but man, they're running out of gas. And it's like they might get into the first scramble in 30 seconds. And I mean, to me, that doesn't look fun at all. And I'm not taking anything away from our great sport, but I think for our sport to be fun, you have to have a certain level of conditioning, in my opinion. Again, I'll always say it if it's my, we'll always say it if it's our opinion versus if it's the numbers, right? The numbers don't lie, but they are, yeah. So for them, they don't have the basic endurance. So they're not able to compete with some of these kids who are way worse than them, you know.
Pull that chart up again, because that, now that's from 1971. Now, back then, weren't the matches 3-3-3? So you had a longer match. So right off the bat, I would flip power. And, then, you know, again, now we're riffing here a little bit, but I would flip power and endurance here. Right?
Are we riffing? This is what researchers naturally do all the time. And that's why you have to have experts in the field that are looking at it and say, well, how do things shift as the matches change? 71, they're looking at Olympics. They're looking at Olympics, and they're looking at the Gable 3-3-3.
Right off the bat, I would flip power and endurance. I would say power is 20%, endurance is 15%. And then, again, before social media, so that peak of the pyramid, I would bounce that down a little bit more, and we're going to have to cut some percentage out of something else because, man, social media has made it much tougher mentally for these athletes. There's way more prey mindset out there, I would say.
Much softer generation. I would increase the flow mindset as well.
The 15-20%. I don't know what I would take away, yeah. But
and of course we should also say here that technique. Obviously you have to know technique. It's like we could apply this right now to the violin. I don't know how to play the violin. I have the mindset, but I don't have the violin knowledge. So if you don't know the technique, you're not going to be able to do anything. So we're talking about the other qualities outside of technique, right? So, power. And remember, power, what we're really looking at is force production, and force equals mass times acceleration. So the mass part would be how much you can lift. Like, in other words, what's the maximum strength that you have? But the other part of it, and a lot of people forget about this, is acceleration. That's where we're talking about speed. This is where plyometrics, explosive power come in. The Vito type stuff that you're seeing where you got Jordan Burroughs even looking at Vito saying, that was fast.
That was lightning fast.
That was lightning fast.
You don't get a better compliment than that. Himself.
You basically had the three fastest people that pretty much any of us are aware. And, you know, I'm stretching it a little here, but there's some truth to it. It's like you have RBY, who is probably, like, before that match, everyone would have said is the fastest wrestler in the NCAAs, him or McGee, who wrestled right before it. So you got RBY. Then you got Vito executing the move, and then you have Jordan Burroughs, who seems like he's speed personified, and and him saying that was lightning fast. And there you go. My point is this: that's acceleration. The time is now to take your mindset to the next level with Wrestling Mindset. Make sure you go to our website, WrestlingMindset.com, and sign up for your free trial session today. Don't wait any longer. You want the mental edge right now. When you sign up for the free trial session, you're also going to get a copy of our free ebook, Building the Predator Mindset. This book has helped thousands of people build confidence, relax under pressure, get motivated, and build mental toughness in wrestling, school, and life. Make sure you sign up for your free trial session today.
All right, next piece. Going through chapter one, you talked about spirit, mind, and body. A lot of people use that as a catchphrase, but then it's like, all right, sounds good. It's like, well, what are you doing for your spirit? What are you doing to improve your faith? What are you doing to improve your mindset? So really, a lot of people say spirit, mind, and body are just training their body.
Right, and there's even the letters of St. Paul where it says, may the God who transcends all understandings sanctify you whole and entire in your spirit, soul, and body. So it's, you know, spirit, soul, and body. your spirit, mind, and body. A lot of times you look at this, and I see the 3D coaching where they said, where it's like they have spirit, mind, and body. They did a pyramid also. Everyone loves to have the pyramids. It's a cool visual. But they have body on the bottom, mind, and then spirit at the top. And I remember looking at that, and I said, that looks good, but why don't we flip it? Why don't we flip it and put spirit on the bottom? Because mathematically, a pyramid is only as high as its base is wide. So the spirit is really, it should be the foundation. Like the man who built his house upon a rock, as opposed to the man who built his house upon sand. So spirit, mind, and body. And the body is great, but the body is subservient to the mind. And the mind is great, but it's subservient to the spirit. So everything's got to be in its proper order, right? It's like, so when we're you know, the training, the legs feed the wolves, like we remember in the movie Miracle. So you got to have strong legs and a strong core, because that's where all the power emanates from. Well, the same thing. What's your core? What are we built on? We're built on the spiritual. Again, it's not denying the body or soul. I talked about this in our coaches training the other day, where we talked about the enlightenment, which should actually be called the endarkenment of Descartes, where he talked about, I think, therefore I am, the famous cogito ergo sum. And it's like, that just makes no sense. Descartes, the one who split the mind and body. And there's a kind of technical term for the split of mind and body. Death. Right. You can't split the mind and body. So and philosophers, we just look through the years, it's like they've tried, some have overemphasized the mind, some have overemphasized the body, and you're not gonna split it. You got Aristotle, you got St. Thomas Aquinas, who said, yeah, yes, all the way with mind, all the way with body, all the way with spirit. So that's where you're at. It's not just a punchline or a catchphrase. It's your way of life. And sooner or later, we're all gonna get rocked with, you know, bad news and a wrestling career ends. And if all you are is your intelligence, mind, or if all you are is your body, the body decays as the result of the fall, you're left with the spirit, and the spirit, it never lets go.
That's right.
quoting Ozzy Osbourne on this one.
Believe it or not. Work smarter, not harder. I feel like when we were in college, that was a catchphrase, right? We got to work smarter, not harder, because you get to a point, everyone's working pretty hard, right? So you'd start to say, well, let's work smarter, not harder. But we see that now, it's like a big cop out for people that don't want to work harder. And, you know, it doesn't mean you're not working hard to some extent, but then you go back to our Patrick interview, and he said that the traditional definition of hard work is simply not hard enough. It's what you're doing right now and another 100%. And that depends on the person, of course, right? But the idea is that whatever you're doing right now, you could do a lot more. So when you think you're working hard, it's like you could work harder. So it's not like, oh, I'm working hard, so I just got to work smart now. Yeah, do both, right? It's not an either or. It's a, I need to work harder and I need to work smarter. Both of them all the time.
Right, exactly. There's no split. You don't split the mind. Splitting the body and soul is death. Well, the same thing with this. You don't split it. So, and all of us tend to lean more one way. Some people it's just pure hard work, which is great and everything. But newsflash, it ain't gonna happen. You take a smarter approach. You take a more efficient and economical approach, and you start actually making some gains. So, the people who tend to err more on just pure brute effort, you got to start thinking about efficiency, right? And then people who are looking so much at efficiency and economy of effort, it's like, are you putting out? And you got to put out the full effort.
That's right. Next topic I had, you can't outwork mental training, something that we see all the time where it's like, people do not wrestle well in the postseason. They're going to work so hard this offseason that the mindset's not going to matter, because I'm going to get better, because I'm just going to work hard, and then I'm going to crush everyone because I'm, that much better than everyone. And the reality is you said here, you have the emergency brake on, right? You're driving with the emergency brake. So you might've got better. Doesn't mean you didn't go from here to there, but you're still not here where you could be, right? You still have the emergency brake on. The idea is that we want to get the most out of ourselves. Wherever we're at, we want to get as close to our potential as possible, right? Yes. And the only way you could do that is if you're going back to firing on all cylinders, spirit, mind, and body. But even if you work ridiculously hard, then you'd be even more foolish not to work your mind, because now you're a lot better, but you're holding yourself back.
Yeah, back to the Kolot theme. Was the first time we met him in person was Maryland Coaches Convention a few years back, and maybe close to 10 years back now at this point, maybe a little less. But nonetheless, we were over there and I spoke to the group, and then one of the coaches, you know, challenged me, took me on in front of the whole group. And I talked about the predator prey mindset, and he's like, well, I have a guy who we talk about not making the match special as one of the aspects of prey mindset, treat everything the same. And the guy in front of everyone said, you know, my athlete was a state champ, and he came up to me before the match and said, this is the biggest match of my life. And, you know, and basically he told me in front of the whole group, he's like, you know, he did the exact opposite of what you were saying. And he basically said that, and he thought he was going to get one over me, but you know, this is my area, man. I stuck him in the ground, stepped right on his throat. I told him, I said, well, and this is very calm, figuratively speaking, very calm, said to him, I said, well, hey, you know, did he wrestle his best that match? Did he wrestle close to his potential? And the coach said, no, actually he underperformed that match. And I said, well, you know, now imagine if he was competing in a state like New Jersey. I didn't say that last part. I didn't say that last part, but the point was, what if he, I did say to him, well, what if he wrestled someone better? Like, the point is this, there's always someone better. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Iowa, Oklahoma, Russia, Iran, there's always someone better, right? Or someone who's wrestling closer to their potential, right? And he's like, yeah, he did underperform that match. So that'll be a lesson to you coaches out there who think you know a little bit better. This is what we do. This is our area of expertise. You know, listen a little bit more than you speak. But it was good. It was good, healthy, like going back and forth, because that helped illustrate the point. And that coach learned something that day.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you can't have somebody who builds it up and performs well, right? There are certain
people. The minority.
Yeah. You can't teach a whole team that, like you can't teach a whole team or program that way. Get your butts kicked.
We'll get our heads kicked in. Very few people can do that. There are certain people, we all know there's certain people who put more pressure on themselves and they do better, and that's great for them. We'd say, keep going. That's predator mindset for you. If that's been working for you and you've had historical success with that, don't try to figure it out on the fly if that works for you. If that's worked for you historically, keep doing it. That's predator mindset. In fact, if you switch, this is going to sound funny, but if you switch just because we're saying you should switch and you've had historical success with this, that could be prey mindset because you're shifting because of us. So again, it's not like we're saying we know everything here. We're not in complete control of reality. What we say is there's principles. There's principles. And as long as you have those principles in place, you can all do your own thing. We want to help you be able to do what works for you.
Yeah, but I'd at least give this one a shot. If you're putting it down the pedestal, you know, maybe you're still doing well in spite of that, not because of that. So I would try not putting it on the pedestal, and you probably will perform better for most people most of the time. All right, last topic. We finished kind of this chapter with it. It's not just about wrestling, right? We talked about weight loss mindset. Probably a good one to touch on. I'm sure a lot of the coaches, parents looking at this, us, everyone's thinking about that, right? Once you get to a certain age, you're thinking about weight loss. You're thinking about staying ripped, keeping your six-pack, staying in good shape. How does a predator prey mindset relate to that?
Yeah. And I brought this in because I realized there's a lot of non-wrestlers reading the book and pretty much no one's satisfied with their body. I don't mean like having like an eating disorder or anything, not to say that people don't get to that area, but you know, we all would like to be, we'd like to be in better shape. Right. So that's a kind of something that anyone could relate to of, wanting to look better, wanting to feel better, that kind of thing. So it's the same thing. If we're comparing ourselves to other people, it's going to be worse. If we're focusing on what we can control, all the better. There's a ton of exercise equipment out there. There's a ton of different workout plans and rep schemes and all this stuff. The reality is the number one factor of being successful with strength training is consistency. Other things matter. What you're doing does matter. It's not just about consistency. That's what we said, training smarter, not just harder. But the number one factor is consistency.
So the nutritional hierarchy wasn't number one. It was consistency. It was adherence, right? So when it comes to weight loss, right, it's the first step is mental. You know, you could do almost any diet out there, any diet nutrition plan. That's not, you know, no one's saying that that's difficult to find. It's easy to find a good nutrition plan. It's hard to follow it. That's adherence. That's consistency. And that falls on their mindset. So it's like to precede the good nutrition plan, you need to have the right mindset. And that's why people fall short. And then you go back to most of them do nothing to improve their mindset.
Right. So I get yourself consistent before you start focusing on some of these other factors. like counting change. And I was listening to a clip for, you know, weightlifting now, because, you know, being on the, you know, now being done with the wrestling career, being on the bodybuilding program, and Mike Mentzer was talking about this. He does like a highly economical training system, the way he used to do it when he was two-time Mr. Olympia with the perfect score of 300, and then he started personal training people. And then they were saying, like, you're doing so few exercises and everything, we need to do it. You're not changing it up enough. He's like, let's get your 20-inch arms first. Like, once you get 20-inch arms, then let's work on the detail of your bicep and getting the nice separation in the heart shape. Get the 20-inch arms first, which comes in, you know. So it's, in other words, not putting the cart before the horse. You know, it was Plato who said, I have the quote here, I literally just read it.
A lot of philosophy today.
Always. The beginning is the most important part of the work. Right. So, I mean, you know, you could actually say the opposite. You could say the end, because you're the ends, but that's different. Now we're dealing with teleology. So making sure the beginning, it's very important. Get it done and get it consistent, and then let's start fine tuning. But you do have to get to that fine tuning part, because what you do matters. The efficiency and the economy of effort is going to matter. You only have so much time in a day. So do both.
That's all we got.
So make sure you join us again next week. We're going to have chapter 3 coming out. We're going to be doing more interviews.
Chapter two next, which I looked, it's a pretty long chapter. We're going to break it up.
Yeah, we'll break it up. Also, a great thing that we have, and I've done this with Dr. Michael Yassis, who wrote Secrets of Soviet Sports Training. And we're going to go, we have the series. We're going to just post it up on YouTube. You can look at it anytime. It's all going to be free. But we all know the 10 basic skills of wrestling, including, you know, penetration step, stance and motion, back step, switch, things like that, hip heist. We're going through each one of those positions, and we're talking about exactly how to improve at those joint angles. So when we talk about strength training, it's not just about, oh, hey, lift weights. It's making sure you're getting strong. Everything you do has to transfer training. That's the only question you should ask. It's like, if bench, I'm using as an example, hypothetically. Let's say hypothetically, bench press doesn't transfer to wrestling. Throw it out, because you're trying to win wrestling matches. And then, like I said, once your wrestling career is over, then you go on the bodybuilding plan. I mean, we said this to Ray Jazz years ago, and now look at him now. He's jacked. So he said, now I'm on the bodybuilding plan. After he was already an All-American and being the all-time winningest wrestler at NYU and one of our top mindset coaches. So what was the point with that? I mean, I guess basically that we got to transfer our training to what we're doing. So we did that series with Dr. Michael Yassis. We have stance and motion down. He has 10 exercises that will transfer from training to the wrestling match, working the joint angles that you're actually going to be in a stance and motion.
So you got to have the active cords.
So get the active cords. They're like 150. It's worth a grab. And we're going to have it on our website. I mean, the reality is you're probably spending your money on worse things. There's worse things you could be getting here. And like we always say, you got to be getting this kind of stuff if you're trying to be successful. But this can help train you in the joint angle that you're at. So make sure you get the active cords, make the purchase, and then we're going to go through each one of the different basic movements of wrestling, so you know your training is going to transfer. And a great book done that talks about this is by Anatoly Bondarchuk, which is translated from Russian by Dr. Yassis. So he knows all about the transfer of training. This is what they did at the Soviet Union, and this is why they were able to produce some of the best athletes with far less talent than we have, because they were actually building athletes. So make sure you do that. We'll have the links that'll be all up in our, if you scroll through our videos on Wrestling Mindset YouTube page, they're right there. Make sure you also like the videos, subscribe, hit the bell. And if you disagree with something, write back to us, because, hey, it bumps up the number of people who are going to see it. So whether you like it, whether you don't like it, let us know about it. And we remind you, as always, whether it's wrestling, school, or life, mindset makes the difference. Have a great week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.